morning. Today's daf in Kiddushin is Lamed Tes. Thank Lubin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf is Lorna Zeichen Ishmas Liba Gabriela Bas Shmuel. Lamed Chesem Beis is where we're found. We're towards the bottom of the Amud. We're starting this morning with the words Tanan Hassan. We learned a Mishnah over there. We're going to quote a Mishnah from Arla. Before we quote the Mishnah from Arla, just to get our bearings, we have been discussing the past couple of days Mitzvah Satluyas Ba'aretz. The Mishnah on Lamed Vav Amud Beis opened up a discussion in terms of a basic distinction between mitzvahs which are connected to the land of Eretz Yisrael and mitzvahs that are not connected to the land of Eretz Yisrael. And the distinction is very simple, and that is agriculture. If it's a mitzvah in the Torah that it relates to the agriculture of the land, so then it's connected to Eretz Yisrael. Otherwise, it's a mitzvah shebaguf. It's a mitzvah that is connected to our body, and therefore it is it applies throughout the world. So that's what the Mishnah taught us. The Mishnah also told us that there were notable exceptions. Arla and Klein are notable exceptions. Rav Elazar says Chadash is a notable exception. And the way that Abai understood Rav Elazar, which as we learned yesterday is also the Rashbi's opinion as well, is that just like the Isurim of Arla and Klein apply all over the world, even though they're agriculturally based, the same thing is true with the Isur Chadash applies all over the world, even though it's agriculturally based. And that means that going to where we're about to start right now, without any more information, which we're about to see more information, without any more information, so any fruit that grows on a tree in the first 3 years after its planting is going to be usur all over the world. Kalayim, if I make a mixture of various fruits and I plant them together, so anywhere in the world it's going to be usur. And then finally, Chadash. Chadash all over the world is going to be usur. Right? This Shabbos represents the 15th day of Nisan. Sunday is the 16th day of Nisan. So I can't eat any grains that grew over the course of this year, meaning from the last 16th day of Nisan to this coming 16th day of Nisan, until after Sunday. Then and only after Sunday would I be allowed to eat all the grains that grew over the course of this year. And that would be true all over the world. So right now, I have the basic distinction of the Mishnah, the three exceptions to the Mishnah, but as we're going to learn now we get more information. Our Mishnah is going to tell us that even though everything we learned is correct, but there's going to be a little bit of nuance, and we're going to be spending this morning talking and learning about the nuance. So we start today with the Mishnah in Arla. Tanan Hasa. Mishnah Gemara here quotes the Mishnah Arla, Chadash Asur Min HaTorah B'chol Makom. So when it comes to the Isur Arla, fruit growing on a tree in the first 3 years after it's planted, so it's Asur Min HaTorah everywhere. Arla Halacha. The prohibition of Arla is, sorry, let me read that Mishnah again. HaChadash Asur Min HaTorah B'chol Makom. Okay, sorry. Not Arla. Okay, I started saying it incorrectly. Let me say it now correctly. Chadash is also in the Torah everywhere. Okay, the Isur Chadash applies everywhere, and that's Minat Torah. Arla is Halacha. Well, we're going to fine-tune what the word Halacha means in this context in just a moment. But Arla applies all over the world, but only on the basis of Halacha. Again, we're going to define what that is in just a second. And Kalayim Midivrei Sofrim, and the Isser Kalayim, that only applies Midivrei Sofrim, that is only rabbinically practiced all over the world. Now, we have the three notable exceptions that we had in our Mishnah. Once again, Chadash, not in the same word of our Mishnah, but Chadash, Arla and Kalayim, and now what this Mishnah in Arla is telling us is that the levels of requirement are going to differ regarding all three. Chadash, Asur Min HaTorah, done. And then there's a second level below that, which is what's called the Halacha, and there's one level below that, which is called Divrei Sofrim. And so it only begs the question, which the Gemara now asks, my Halacha. When we have this middle category describing Arla as being Halacha, what exactly is meant by that? Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Hilchasa Medina. So, the one explanation of the Gemara in the name of Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, is that Halacha in this context means Hilchasa Medina. It is the Halacha of the land. What does that mean? So if you take a look at Rashi. So Rashi writes Hilchasa Medina. Rashi is above where we are in the Gemara. Rashi is towards the top. Hin higuhu Haim Alehem Bechutz Haaretz. It's a practice. Meaning, we practice Arla outside of Eretz Yisrael, which the way Rashi presents it, it sounds like it's a din derabanan, which the Gemara later on is going to ask the question. It's a minhag, but a meaning whoever started it, meaning it could be by the people, could be by the chachamim, but later on the Gemara is going to ask the question, well, if that's the correct understanding of the word halacha, so then what's the difference between the description of Arla being halacha and the description of Klein being divrei sofer? Okay, and we're going to get to that in just a moment. But anyway, so that's one explanation of what the word halacha means. Ula am Rav Yochanan. The Gemara quotes the name of Ula and the name of Rav Yochanan. Halacha Moshe Mitzinai. The word halacha means halacha Moshe Mitzinai. Now, I do remember that back in Nazir, where we had the word halacha used numerous times, and it was Rav Yochanan, if my memory serves me correct, doesn't serve me all the time, but if the memory serves me correct, Rav Yochanan was the one who consistently said that the word halacha over there meant halacha Moshe Mitzinai. So I'm not going to make I don't want to make too big a deal about this, but I do have a clear memory that Rav Yochanan is pretty consistent in saying that the word halacha to be understood. I mean, obviously various contexts, so it's not a hard and fast rule, but Rav Yochanan is apt to say that halacha means halacha Moshe Mitzinai. So here also, when we're talking about Arla outside of Eretz Yisrael, and the Mishnah describes it as halacha, Rav Yochanan describes it as halacha Moshe Mitzinai. So, Amalei Ula l'Rav Yehuda. So Ula now turns to Rav Yehuda and says, so as follows, Bishlam l'didida mina halacha Moshe Mitzinai. Look, I got to tell you, my explanation is better. Why? Because Hainu d'shalalei bein safik arla safik klein. Because let's say you ever get onto a case of safik. Outside of Eretz Yisrael, we're not talking about in Eretz Yisrael. In Eretz Yisrael, everything's Daraisa. Outside of Eretz Yisrael, let's say you have a suffix. We're going to learn now together a couple of Mishnayos, and we're going to see in the Mishnayos that the Mishnayos treat suffix Arla differently than suffix Kalayim. It's a subtle difference, but it's different. So what he's going to point out is that, for me, it works out better. Meaning, I understand why there's a difference for me, because I understand halacha to mean halacha Moshe Mitzinai. And so therefore, of course there's going to be a difference. But according to you, where you say that the word halacha means hilchas medina, meaning the people practice it, so there shouldn't be a difference between Arla and Klein, according to you. So first, let's learn the Mishnayos together and see. It's a very subtle difference between Suffolk Arla versus Suffolk Klein. Here we go, Mishnah number one. Again, this is a Mishnah in Arla. Safik Arla ba'aretz aser. So if it's Safik Arla in Eretz Yisrael, so it's going to be aser because, of course, Safik, it's a Safik Yisrael Daraisa. So we're going to be Machmer, and therefore it's going to be aser. Bisurya mutter. Now, if we're in Surya, Surya is Aram Tzova. Rashi says David annexed it. The annexation of Surya was done so only by David HaMelech, and it was Kivush Yachid, and so therefore it does not have full Kedushas Eretz Yisrael, and so therefore if I have Safik Arla in Surya, so therefore it's going to be Mutter, because it does not have the full Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. Now, Chutz Aretz, now let's go to anywhere outside of Eretz Yisrael, and outside of a next Eretz Yisrael, and so now if we're in Chutz Aretz, Yorid V'lokech, V'ashala Yirena, locate. So then, You can go buy Arla wherever you want. Doesn't matter. As the only thing you can't do, says this Mishnah, is uvavashalo yirena locate. You can't see the merchant actually pick the Arla off the tree. But short of that, you can go to the market and you can buy whatever you want, and you don't have to ask any questions whatsoever. And v'kachaya, meaning you and I know, we go to the market and we never ask the question, are these fruit from Arla or for not from Arla? Is it how old was the tree? We never investigate. And because the Mishnah in Arla says there's no need to investigate. Okay, so that is a Mishnah regarding Arla. So in Eretz Yisrael, Safek Aser, in Surya, Safek Mutter, and in Chutz Aretz, you don't even have to ask any questions. You could just go, you could buy. The only thing you can't do in outside of Eretz Yisrael is just pick the Arla off the tree yourself. And you can't see what's happening. Fine. The Ilu Gabi Klaim, now we turn our attention to Klaim and Tanan. And again, another Mishnah in Arla, and we're discussing what is the halacha of Safik Klaim. Karim Hanatua Yerek, the Yerek, Nimkar Chutzalo. I'm sorry. Karmana to Yerik Vyerik Nimka Chutzala. So you have a vineyard and you have vegetables planted in the vineyard. And now And now it's a question of whether or not these vegetables were grown within proximity of the vineyard. Basically, we have a question of whether or not it's kalayim. So, ba'aretz aser. So, in Eretz Yisrael, it's safek kalayim. So, we're going to be machmer. In Syria, mutter. In Syria, because, again, the annexation of Syria was only done by David HaMelech, and not he did not have a mandate to do so. So, therefore, it's going to be mutter. Now, b'chutz aretz. Yored velokit uvavash lo yilkot biyad. So, the Mishnah concludes as follows. Now, in Chutz La'aretz, so here's the story. You can go into the field, you can be locate, the only thing he can't do is vavash lo yilkot biyad. Meaning, Rashi, last Rashi on the Amud, uvavash lo yilkot hachaver atzma biyad. You can go down, you can even see that it's kalayim, you just can't pick it with your own hand. The im isa de arla b'chutz aretz divrei sofrim v'lo halach l'moshe sina ma'ishna de achmir b'safik arla misafik lime. And then Rashi just simply spells out the question, which I'm about to do. And then what comes out is as follows. Here's our story regarding safik outside of Eretz Yisrael. By arla, as long as you don't know, you're good. By kalayim, even if you know, you're still going to be good. You just can't pick it yourself. So now, the question is very simple. Why should there be a difference? Meaning, according to Rav Yochanan, I understand why there's a difference. The halacha of Arla that applies outside of Eretz Yisrael, that's halacha Moshe Mitzrayim. So it's on a higher level. So for whatever reasons, we're going to be Mekel, but the kula by Arla is not going to be as strong. We're not going to be as Mekel by Arla as we are by Kalayim. Because Kalayim is a din de Rabbanan exclusively, and Arla is halacha Moshe Mitzrayim, which again, for whatever reason, there's allowances to be lenient, but at least I understand why they're not going to be the same. But according to you, Rav Yehuda, who are of the opinion that outside of Eretz Yisrael, both Arla and Kalayim are dine de Rabbanan, so there should not be a difference between the two, and yet, as we just learned, the two Mishnayot side by side, there is a difference between the two. Albeit not a huge difference, but there's a difference. By Arla, you can't pick the Arla yourself. You can't know that it's Arla. But short of that, you're fine. As long as you don't know. By Kalayim, even if you know, you still can eat it, as long as you don't pick it yourself. So, how do you explain that difference? Ela liditcha, now we turn to the top of Lama Tesam and Aleph. But according to you, Nisne Ozev Zeh Yored Velokech. Ozev Zeh Yored Velokate. I don't care what the conclusion is, but it should be the same conclusion regarding Safik Arla and Safik Klaim, and why isn't the conclusion the same? So, Ha'amar le'shmol le'rav anan t'ni, ozev ezeh yor v'lokech, ozev ezeh yor v'lokeh. So the Gemara says, okay, you know what I'm going to tell you? That I have a different version of the Mishnah. Meaning, when I learn the Mishnayos, my conclusion of the two Mishnayos are actually the same. Now, it's funny, he offers both conclusions, meaning either one of them is, I'm not sure how to say this, meaning it's, I'm either going to learn it one way, I'm going to learn it the other way, and I don't have a fixed way of how to learn it. I'm unclear about that last point. But whatever the conclusion of the Mishnah is, it's a consistent conclusion between the two, and therefore I'm good. So now when Marbere de Ravana, when he learned these Mishnayos in Arla, so his conclusion on the Mishnayos is Lakula, meaning Zevzeh Yorev Velokate Uvavashalo Yilkot Biyad. Meaning in both of these cases, you can know that it's Arla. You can know that it's Kalayim. The only thing you can't do outside of Eretz Yisrael is you can't pick it with your own hands. As long as somebody picks it for you, you're going to be good, you're going to be fine. Okay. Amale Levi Lishmol, Aryoch. Levi turns to Shmuel and he says to him, Aryoch, Aryoch is a nickname. I don't know why, but for Shmuel, Shmuel is surrounded by nicknames. He calls other nicknames. Other people call him nicknames. So, okay. We just had him referring to Rav Yehuda as Shinana. So, and now when spoken to by Levi, Levi calls him Aryoch. Aryoch, these are good nicknames, by the way. Not bad nicknames, but still. He dabbled in nicknames. So the Aryoch means you're the king. So Shmuel was the king. So he was the head of Narda, he was the king. So Amalei Levi Lishmol Aryoch Safek Li Va'ana Echol. Fascinating. Safek Li Va'ana Echol. Look, take a look at Rashi. What exactly does he mean by that? Lakoshelo Befanai She Has Safek Etzli Va'ana Echol Uva Arlakai. Meaning, here's the story. obviously they lived outside of Eretz Yisrael. And as we just learned together by our law, as long as it's a safek, so you're allowed to eat arla outside of Eretz Yisrael. So now he says, Levi turns to Shmuel, and Levi says to Shmuel, do me a favor, mix it up for me. Meaning, create a safek for me, so that I'll be able to eat it. So again, it's a special leniency built into the Arla of Chutz Aretz. The only thing about Arla of Chutz Aretz that you can't do is you can't outright eat fruit off of a sapling, off of a tree that within its first 3 years. But short of that, if you don't know, then you are allowed to eat it. And you can even create a suffix, which generally in halakha does not work. Right, aim avat l'nisr lechatchila. You can't create bittul lechatchila. But again, this halacha, this particular halacha, to begin with, is already a din derabanan with built-in leniencies. And one of those built-in leniencies is that you can even create the safek and be allowed to eat arla outside of Eretz Yisrael. Rav Avya v'Rabba bar Rav Chana misafke arla b'chutz aretz. Sorry, I skipped a line. Let me do that again. Rav Avya v'Rabba bar Rav Chana misafke sefuke lahadade. So Rav Avya and Rabba bar Rav Chana actually did this. They created sfekos for one another, meaning they mixed up each other's fruit in order to create this suffix so that they'd be allowed to eat the fruit. Amre charifa de pumpadisa in arla b'chutz aretz. And now, we get to the most lenient position, which is Harifa de Pumbedisa, the sharp ones of Pumbedisa. So they were recorded as saying that there is no Arla in Chutz Aretz. Now, that is a deviation from what we've said up until this point in time. Meaning, the Mishnah Arla says there is some semblance of Arla outside of Eretz Yisrael. It just happens to be that it's Halacha. Now, again, what does Halacha mean? So, the debate amongst the Amoraim. But, certainly there's an idea that there exists a concept of Arla outside of Eretz Yisrael. We just saw a group of Amoraim say as long as there's a suffix and as long as you can even create the suffix, but it's still, you have to acknowledge that there's some semblance of Arla. The Harifa de Pumbedisa are going to the most extreme position where they're of the opinion that there simply is no Arla outside of Eretz Yisrael. Now, Shachar Rav Yehuda Lekami de Rav Yochanan. So, correspondence was sent from Rav Yehuda in front of Rav Yochanan. Shalach lei sesom sveika v'aved vada. So, Rashi explains what Rav Yochanan's instructions are as follows. Sesom sveik v'aved vada. I'm reading Rashi. Rashi's four lines down from the top. He writes, klomar, sveika mutar vada asar. That if it's a safek, so then it's going to be mutter. If it's vadai, it's going to be asar. The heter sfeika, sasmei. Now, even though we have learned together, right, since the beginning of this morning, that if it's a case of safek, you're allowed to eat the arla, what Rav Yochanan was encouraging was conceal this from the people. Don't let the people know this. Laharus behatsnea v'lo l'darsha barabim. Now, in a private conversation between one person and another, you can tell them the halacha. The halacha is safek arla is mutter. But don't go out in public and tell people in public that this is in fact the halacha. Ho mekilim ba. And the reason why is because you see what just happened. Meaning when you got to the Harifa, the Pumbedisa, the sharp ones in Pumbedisa, so they just dismissed arla altogether. So how did it get to that? Probably how it got to that is because there's so many kulas regarding arla chutz aretz, and even if I have arla, I can make it heter by creating a mixture and creating a suffig. So basically got to the point where the Harifa Pumbedisa said, you know what? So let's stop this. There's no arla in chutz aretz altogether. So what Rav Yochanan was saying is, you know what? Stop saying it in public. Just say it privately one to another. And Rashi cites that there are other places where we find this kind of language. But anyway, that's the pshat of the Gemara according to Rashi. Yeah. But again, it's just... Right, correct. So again, that's part of the leniency regarding Arla. Meaning, I don't know where else you have this idea where you can create suffix. And then you can create by creating suffix, by creating heter. I don't have another precedent for this, but by Arla you could do so. Okay. So... So that's Rav Yochanan's response. Shalach leisasam sveika va'aved vadai. V'hachreiz al perasim shetu'unim geniza. And Rav Yochanan says, and as far as the fruit that they have in their collection, so make an announcement that their fruit require geniza. V'chol ha'omer einar lebechutzar slo yeh lo nin v'neched. And then Rav Yochanan just wanted to make sure that everyone's clear, and so he ended off his correspondence with a curse. Anybody who says that there is no Arla outside of Eretz Yisrael will not have a child or a grandchild. Meaning, it's a cherem, it's a curse on anyone who says it, because it's not true. Meaning there is Arla outside of Eretz Yisrael, albeit a lesser level than that of Eretz Yisrael, but there is Arla outside of Eretz Yisrael, and it's just now a question of the various kulas. But to say there's no Arla is outside of the, you're off the reservation if you say that, and that's essentially what Rav Yochanan says.
But he allowed somebody to say it privately.
No, understood. He didn't want this sentiment that the Charfei de Pumbedisa were saying. He didn't want it to become more prevalent. That's why he cursed them for anyone who would say something like that. Mashal chevel begaro bekal Hashem. Okay, now, sorry, and then the Gemara quotes the pasuk in Micha that substantiates this curse. Now, ve'inu kaman stavrua. Now, Charfei de Pumbedisa. Now, they were given that name for a reason, meaning they were the sharp ones of Pumbedisa, meaning they just didn't say it. They obviously were basing themselves on something. So the Gemara now is going to try to give us an explanation of what they were based on. The Inu Kaman Savrua Ki Had the Tanya. The Gemara says they're following the following Braisa: Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yosi, Amar Mishum Rabbi Yosi Ben Dur Maskar, Shamar Mishum Rabbi Yosi Haglili, Shamar Mishum Rabbi Yochan Ben Nuri, Shamar Mishum Rabbi Eliezer Hagadol. Okay, so it is a Masorah, and we've quoted some major Tanayim. Ein Arla Bechus Haaretz. And this Masorah tells us that there is no Arla in Chutz Haaretz. So truth of the matter is that now, having learned this together, granted it's not a Mishnah, the Mishnah says that there is some semblance of Arla in Chutz Haaretz, but this Masorah has it that there simply is no Arla in Chutz Haaretz, and that's what Charfei de Pumbedisa were quoting. Below the Gemara says, V'anan Tanan Rebbe Lazar Omer Afa Chadash. Now the Gemara says, now we're just as an interesting aside, Rav Elazar says that there is also Chadash. So an Afa Chadash, even Chadash. And the and what is that telling you? That's telling you that according to Rabbi Elazar, you have, in addition to Chadash, also the other things mentioned in the Mishnah. Meaning, look back at the Mishnah. The two notable exceptions in the Mishnah are Arla and Kleiman. Rav Elazar says, even Chadash. But what does even Chadash tell you? Even Chadash tells you that, of course I agree that there's Arla and there's Kleim outside of Eretz Yisrael. And on top of that, I'm also saying there's also Chadash as well. So what bothers the Gemara now is that how can Rav Elazar have said in our Mishnah the words Af HaChadash, meaning validating both Arla and Kleim, when meanwhile, in this Masorah that we just learned together, Rav Elazar was the one who said that there is no Arla outside of Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara's answer to that is a very simple one, and that's not simple, but the Tani Chadash. So the Gemara's response is, okay, when you learn Rav Elazar in our Mishnah, you're going to have to take out the word Af and just have the word Chadash, which means that according to Rav Elazar, Chadash is the only exception that applies outside of Eretz Yisrael, not Arla, not Kalayim. Yeah.
Does the pasuk say Moshe Votechem for Orla? Or?
I don't know. Right. Well, later on, we're going to discuss why Arla applies outside of Eretz Yisrael. But, okay. No, okay. The really more, what I just said is true more by Kalim than by Arla. All right. Fine. That's where we're at right now. So we have basically two opinions regarding Arla outside of Eretz Yisrael. One is the Mishnah Arla, that there is a halacha of Arla outside of Eretz Yisrael, exactly what the word halacha means, machlokes amarayim, but there is an idea, a semblance of Arla outside of Eretz Yisrael, and then the various kulas that we learn together, and then two, is that there is a Masorah that the Gemara quotes, which Charfei de Pumbedisa followed, which is that there is no Arla outside of Eretz Yisrael. Rav Yochanan, however, basically put an end to that misora, meaning even though the Gemara acknowledges that there is a misora to that position, but Rav Yochanan says, but enough with that. I don't want to hear that. Rav Yochanan says he cursed. He put a cherem on anyone who subscribes to that position. Amar Rebbe Asi. We are in the Gemara in the middle of Lamed Tes Amud Aleph, a little less than halfway down. The Gemara continues. Amar Rebbe Asi. Amar Rav Yochanan. Allah b'chutz haaretz halacha l'Moshe Mesinai. Okay, the Gemara quotes in the name of Rav Yochanan that our last of Eretz Yisrael is halacha l'Moshe Mesinai. We knew this already. That was how Rav Yochanan understood the word halacha earlier. Good. Amar Le Rav Zera Le Rav Asi V'atanya Safik Allah b'aretz Asu b'Suria Motor and. So the Gemara says, yeah, but what about Safek? So Ishtamim Kishar Chada. Now, when he first heard the question, like he was like bewildered. He was like quiet. He didn't know what to say. And then Amalei Emakach Nemar Safek Amuter Vada Aser. So he says, okay, but it doesn't go against what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that there is Arla. Safek Arla, we're allowed to be Makel outside of Eretz Yisrael. The Vada is going to be Aser. Okay. Amar Rabbi Asi, Amar Rav Yochanan, Lo Kanala Klaim Dvar Torah. You get Malkus for Klaim, and that is Dvar Torah. Meaning that's Menat Torah, it's Halacha, it's an Issa Doraisa. So Amale Rav Elazar Rav Yosef Anantanana Klaim Divrei Sofrim. So the Gemara says, now wait one second, I am so confused. Because what did we learn in the Mishnah Arla? We learned together in the Mishnah Arla that Klaim is Divrei Sofrim. So it's a din d'rabbanan. How can Rav Yochanan be quoted as saying that it is a dvar Torah? So and you're going to get malchus min haTorah. So lo kasha kan b'klai keren kan bar kavasa ilan. So the Gemara says we're going to make a very fundamental distinction within the world of Kalayim. So from here until basically the end of this amud, our first amud today, so we're going to be sitting and learning together some of the halachas regarding Kalayim. Right now the Gemara is making the following distinction. We're making a distinction between grafting of trees versus the planting of a vineyard. Okay? Kanbar Karvas Ilan, Kanbar Klai Karen, Kanbar Karvas Ilan, Kiddushmul. And in order to understand this distinction, so let's read a little bit more in the Gemara, and then we're going to do Rashi together. And the Gemara says, and this follows the thought process of Shmuel, Dama Shmuel, Es Chukasai Tishmar, Chukim Shechakak, Yilachakvar. So the Pasuk says, you follow my chukim, those chukim which I already established for you, behem techalosar bia klayim, that your animals you're not allowed to cross, sadachalosizra, ma behem techabeharva'a, av sadachabeharkava. Just like you're not allowed to cross animals, we're also not allowed to cross trees as well. Oma behem techanog, main barats, main bechotarats, and just like animals apply both in and outside of Eretz Yisrael, av sadachanog, main barats, main bechotarats, so too your trees are applicable both in and outside of Eretz Yisrael. Let us now take a look at Rashi. Rashi explains this Gemara in the following manner. Chukasai Tishmaro, see Rashi right alongside where we are in the Gemara, and Rashi writes, Midaloksi Vishmartim es Chukasai, Mashma es Chukasai Sher Me'olam Tishmaru. The Torah does not say you're going to follow my Chukim, but the Torah says, that which I already said was law, I'm telling you. Now, what is that a reference to? Malamish is Noach uvanav aleihem, meaning that this was already some form of universal law that we're not allowed to cross. And Rashi says that already Noach, meaning this is mitzvahs b'nei Noach that they're not allowed to cross. Ve'elu heina chukim behem techalos tarbiya sadcha lo sizra ve'ezes rias kalayim shani omer shechakaktim lecha kvar dumya debehema. Now, Rashi explains that when the Torah over here is making a reference to crossing trees, it has to be the type of crossing trees which is similar and resembles like crossing animals. Well, now, when it comes to crossing animals, but parenthetically, by the way, if you're curious, if you're wondering right now, I didn't know that crossing animals was one of the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach. So in a moment, Rashi's going to quote the Gemara in Sanhedrin. The Gemara in Sanhedrin has an opinion that crossing animals is one of the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach. I'll simply take out the word Sheva, because according to that opinion, it's obviously going to be more, right, it's going to be more than seven, right? Seven is not like a hard and fast rule, right? There could be other Averis as well. And there's a Rabbeinu Yonah also that says that the seven are categories, not seven mitzvahs. Anyway, so Kvar Dumi de Behema. Davar Hamasuyan Vahainu Harkava. Now, what Rashi explains to this is as follows. Look, when you have the crossing of animals, so basically I have one animal, I have another animal, I try to have them mate. So in other words, I'm taking a known entity, another known entity, and I'm actually putting them together in order to create a cross. That is Aser, and that already was Aser from the time of Noach, and that continues to be Aser. Same thing is true regarding Harkava. When we're talking about the grafting of a tree, I have one tree, I have another branch, I put them together, I tie them together, and I'm creating a cross between the two. Omehach nafkalam b'Sanhedrin, and here Rashi now quotes the Gemara in Sanhedrin, to b'nei Noach huzara aleihem, that this is also to the b'nei Noach, v'hacha atam mosif lomo mehekesheh, dumya de behema. And from this connection, Rashi says, we're now learning together that the prohibition of crossing of vegetation has to be similar to that of animals, which is afil b'chutzaretz da chovas agufi af sadcha b'chutzaretz. So now that explains the statement of Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan says that if you cross by Zra'im, you're going to be over, you're going to get Malkus min HaTorah. But it doesn't mean seeds. It means trees. It's basically talking about the grafting of trees. When you graft trees outside of Eretz Yisrael, so you're subject to an Issa D'Oraisa. Much like if you were to cross animals. Crossing animals is not land-based. It's not agriculturally based. And therefore it applies all over the world. So too is the going to be the crossing of trees as well. That's how Rashi explains the Gemara, and that's how I understand the statement of Rav Yochanan. However, when it comes to seeds, that's not in Isser Daraisa. Let's see this now in the Gemara. So, Afsadcha bar kavo ma behemtcha noig bein barts ben bechotzaros. I read this already. Sadcha noig bein barts ben bechotzaros. Ve'ala haksiv sadcha. So the Gemara says, now, the Torah does say, Sadecha, your fields, meaning the question is assuming that it's talking about the fields of Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara says, Ha'olamuti Yisrael, Shebechot Zaretz. So the Gemara says, exactly. The seeds outside of Eretz Yisrael, if I planted various seeds together outside of Eretz Yisrael, so that is not a violation of Anissa Daraisa. It's still going to be prohibited, but it's not a violation of Anissa Daraisa. Okay. Where do we stand right now in terms of Kalayim? So far, what we've now learned is that when you are crossing animals, which has nothing to do with land, that's Aser, and that's going to be Aser forever, everywhere. And the same thing is true regarding trees as well. If I'm grafting trees, so that's going to be Aser both in and outside of Eretz Yisrael, I'm in HaTorah. Gemara now continues more on the discussion of Kalayim. Rav Chanan. V'rav Anan, Havishak Levazim Orchei. So two Amorim were walking together, and Chazio Lahugavet Kazar Zerayim Bahade Hadade. So, and they see a guy, and the guy's planting seeds together, various seeds together. So Amalei Nesimar Nishamte. So he's planting various seeds together. Obviously, this is taking place outside of Eretz Yisrael. They're asking each other the question, should we put him in Cherem? Amalei Lo Chavrisi. So the other one said, you don't have clarity on the laws of Kalayim, meaning you're asking the question, you think that he's right now doing something wrong, but he's not, and it's you who does not have the clarity on the laws of Kalayim. Rashi explains, Lo Chavrisi, Ein Alachus Kalayim, Mechuvarim Lachem. You just don't know. V'suchas Yilahu Gavra. Now the Gemara in just a moment is going to clarify why it is that what this person was doing was totally fine. Ha'uchas Yilahu Gavra Tekazarei Chiti V'sarei Begufni. They came across another guy, and he was planting both wheat and barley in his vineyard. So Amalei Nesimar Neshamte, and once again they asked the question, hey, I don't think that's right. Meaning, right, there's an Issa in the Torah of crossing, and he's taking now barley and wheat, and he's planting in his vineyard. Maybe we should put him in Cherem. Amalei Lo Tzarisu. So, and once again they turn to him, and they say to him, you don't have Tzohar, you don't have clarity on the laws of Kalayim. What he's doing is totally fine, and it's the problem is not him, the problem is you. So Lo Kaimalan Karabi Yoshia. So the Gemara explains like this. First of all, this is a rhetorical question. Don't we hold like Rav Yoshia? The Amar Ach Yizra Chita Saora Vechartsan Bemapoles Yad. That in order to violate the Issur D'Oraisa of Kalayim, meaning in the planting form, what you have to do is you have to plant simultaneously wheat, barley, and grape seed, all at the same time. But Mampolis Yad means with the tossing of one hand. That is the only way to violate the Isser Min HaTorah. Let's take a look at Rashi. Rashi writes, Lokaiman Karav Yoshia Bitmia, Vitam Derav Yoshia, Lo Yadan Mehecha Nafkale, the Beinan Beiz Min Ezraim, Vechartz and Shlishi, Maposia Nafkale, Milos Ezra Chamacha Kalayim, Mashma Shizriya Sakarim, Atma Tiyeh, Big Kalayim. Okay, Rashi says that, according to Rav Yoshia, in order to violate the Isser Min HaTorah, you have to, in Eretz Yisrael, plant the three of them together. Now, basically, from that, we scale back. So, that's the way to violate the Isser Min HaTorah. Now, if I don't plant them all together, now we're not even at Nisr Torah, we're only at Nisr Derabanan. And then, if I'm doing it outside of Eretz Yisrael, not even in Isser Min Derabanan. Gemara continues. Rav Yosef Ma'ariv Bizroni Vizera. Rav Yosef, when he would plant, so he would plant various seeds together. He wouldn't do it in his vineyard, says Rashi, but he would plant various seeds together. Amalei Abaye Vanantanan Eklaimed Divrei Sofrim. So Abaye turns to his Rebbe Rav Yosef and says, wait a second, didn't we learn at the beginning of this morning shiur that the Isser climb outside of Eretz Yisrael applies midrabanan? Amalei Lo Kasha Kambal Klai Karen Kambal Beklai Zeraim. So Rav Yosef says, even that, that only, the only din derabanan that we take over outside of Eretz Yisrael is only planting grapes seeds together with other plants. But if you want to make a cross between various seeds, as long as it's not grapes involved, it's not even in Issa Derabanan. And the distinction is as follows. When you plant grape seeds together with other seeds, so the resulting yield is going to be Asr Ba'achila and Asr Ba'ana. Therefore, because of the gravity of that Isser, so the Chachamim extended that to outside of Eretz Yisrael, at least on a rabbinic level. But when I'm planting various seeds together and the grapes are not being involved, so then, even in Eretz Yisrael, it's only in Isser Achila. I mean, I say only relatively speaking. It's only in Isser Achila. So therefore, the Chachamim didn't extend that form of Klayim outside of Eretz Yisrael. Klay Zarim de Be'eretz lo Isiri Bahana, Bechutz Arz Nami lo Gazro Behu Rabbanan. Hadar Amar Rav Yosef La Milsa de Amrei. So Rav Yosef says, you know what? I'm going to take it back. Meaning, I don't think I was right. Why? The Rav Zara Ginase de Be Rav Mishare Mishare. So, and Rav Yosef says, because I saw, although to be fair, I don't know if he saw or if he just heard. Rav Yosef was unable to see. Either way, I know. Let's leave it like that. I know that when Rav planted his vegetable patch, right? Rav had a little garden in his backyard, and Rav, when he planted his vegetable patch, and obviously Rav lived outside of Eretz Yisrael, and he planted it in rows. And so, although I maintained just a moment ago that when planting anything but grape seeds, so there's no problem outside of Eretz Yisrael. You could plant whatever you want together. But I do also know that Rav planted in rows. And what am I going to do about that? So my time alav mishum eruve eruve kalayim. And so he assumed, well, the issue must be that it has to do with the Isser kalayim. And that's why Rav planted his vegetable patches in rows. Amalei Abaye bishlami iyash mi'inan arba. Al arba ruchos ha'aruga va'achaz v'emsa shapir. So the Gemara says, wait one second. If what Rav did was a configuration of four seeds in four corners with one patch in the middle, remember this takes us all the way back to Masechet Shabbos. This is a long time ago, where the Gemara over there laid out a configuration in which one would be allowed to plant five different seeds in one field, and you're following that configuration. So then clearly, then you're doing that out of concern as an observance of the Isurim of Kalayim. However, Rav didn't do that. All Rav did was just simply plant things in a row. And you know why he did that? Because Rav was neat and organized. And the Gemara says exactly that. Elahacha Misham Noi. So the only reason why Rav planted his seeds in rows is only because of... Yeah, it was beautiful that way. V'inami Misham Tircha Deshamahi. Or maybe he was concerned about his attendant, that his attendant would be able to collect things neatly. Either way, Rav wasn't doing it as a halachic consideration. He was doing it as an aesthetic consideration, as a consideration for his servant. But it had nothing to do with halacha. And basically the Gemara is saying, Rav Yosef, you don't need to retract from your position. Meaning outside of Eretz Yisrael, when it comes to the climb of seeds, so then you could be mekel as long as there are no grape seeds involved. Where do we stand on all this as we concluded the Gemara on the topic of climb? So first of all, let's go back to Arla. Let's just quickly summarize. By Arla's Chutz Aretz, so the Gemara says that Arla applies outside of Chutz Aretz on a halacha basic, meaning it's not min haTorah, but rather it's halacha. What exactly does the word halacha mean? So the Amoraim debate. One understanding is that it means midrabanan. The other understanding is that halacha means halacha l'moshe misinai. But even within the halacha l'moshe misinai, there are rooms to be lenient. Specifically, the Mishnah Arla taught us, we learned the Mishnah this morning, that as long as you don't know, so then you don't have to investigate and you don't have to know. So when you go to the market outside of Eretz Yisrael, you don't have to know whether or not this fruit came from a sapling or did not come from a sapling. It's simply not. And the Gemara actually goes even one step further. You can even create a situation of not knowing that we learned on the top of Lamed Tes Amud Aleph. There were schools of thought, and there was a Misora in the Gemara that Arla does not apply outside of Eretz Yisrael, but Rav Yochanan says, let's do away with that. It's not a normative approach, even though the Gemara acknowledges there was a Misora along those lines. When it comes to the Issur of Kalayim, so the Issur of Kalayim applies outside of Eretz Yisrael, mi divrei sofrim. It applies on a rabbinic level. That's what the Mishnah Arla taught us. Once again, some various distinctions that we learned over the course of this morning. Number one, the grafting of trees. The grafting of trees, says the Gemara, is usur both in and outside of Eretz Yisrael. The grafting of trees is going to be like the grafting of animals. Grafting of animals, I don't really mean grafting, but the crossing of animals is separate from the land, and it's going to be usur universally. So too, the grafting of trees is going to be usur also universally as well. Seeds, so that's where the Gemara says where there's room to be lenient. So the Gemara noted that when the planting of seeds, so even in Eretz Yisrael, you're only going to be usur min haTorah when you plant three seeds together, grapes and two other species together simultaneously, outside of Eretz Yisrael. So there is even more room to be lenient. And we saw this morning, Rav Yosef, as long as there wasn't grape seeds involved, so then he would have no problem planting various seeds together outside of Eretz Yisrael.
The line is also an issue for Shiva Mitzvah as well.
Animals. The crossing of animals, yes. Crossing of seeds, I don't remember. It's Gemara in Sanhedrin, but I don't remember. Okay, let's start. We are up to now Lamed Tes Amud Beis, and we're starting now the next Mishnah. And from here until the end of the parak, which is today and tomorrow. From here until the end of the parak, so we're going to be dealing with hashkafic issues. The Mishnah tells us, Kol ha'osa mitzvah achas mitivin lo, u'marichin lo yamav. If you do with just but one mitzvah. Okay, that's it, just one. So, Kol ha'osa mitzvah achas, if you do one mitzvah, mitivin lo, so good will be done for you, u'marichin lo yamav, and you'll have extended days. V'nochas ha'aretz, and you're going to inherit the land. And if you do not do a mitzvah, so not good will not be done for you, and you will not have extended life, and you will not inherit the land. That seems to be a really simplistic Mishnah. And the Gemara now challenges the Mishnah. Urim Minhu. The Gemara notes a Mishnah that we're all familiar with. It's the first Mishnah in Peah, and we all know it. And the Mishnah reads, Eilu Dvarim Shadamocha Perasem Bolam Azeva Keren Kayemus Olam Abba. This is a... These are the things where you eat the fruit of them in this world, and Keren Kayemus Olam Abba, and also the benefits are going to continue for the next world as well. Elohein, and they are the big five. Kibra ve'em, honoring your parents, Kamilas Chasadim, doing acts of kindness for others. Hachnasas Orachim, hospitality. Havah Shalom and Anu Mechaveru, trying to make peace between people. And Talmud Torah Kenegad Kulam, and above all of that is Talmud Torah. But these are the five. And what the Gemara is bothered by is the following. These are the five where you're going to actually reap reward from these five in this world. Meaning for every mitzvah, obviously, there's going to be a chelek in Olam Haba. But the Mishnah in Peah tells us that for these five, and seemingly only these five are you going to get any kind of reward in this world. Meanwhile, we just learned the last Mishnah of the first Perek of Kedushin, and it says that if you do mitzvah achas, and our Mishnah does not make any qualification, if you do any mitzvah, mitivan lo, you'll get good. And what the Gemara is assuming right now is good means good in this world. And so, obviously, that presents a problem, because the Mishnah in Peah only identifies five mitzvahs where there's going to be some sort of Karen in this world. So the Gemara says, well, we're going to have to re-understand our Mishnah, give a new interpretation of our Mishnah. Our Mishnah means that if you have one additional mitzvah over that of your Averas, so in other words, our Mishnah is not talking about a single mitzvah in of itself. It means some total. If I have a group of mitzvahs and a group of Averas, as long as I have the mitzvahs overweigh the Averas, even by one, right? And this is an accounting issue, and obviously this accounting must be very difficult. The good news is that we don't have to worry about doing the accounting that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does. We just have to worry about doing the mitzvahs and avoiding the Averas. So,
but you have mitzvah kala and mitzvah.
Okay, so the mishnahs, that's an accounting issue in terms of how to weigh the weight of the mitzvahs. But in terms of what the pshat in our mishnah means, it means that as long as I have one mitzvah overriding the others, so then mitivan lo v'dama k'mishim mekayim kol haTorah kula. So then it's as if you Kadosh Baruch Hu will do good for you, and it's as if you were mekayim kol haTorah kula. So in other words, basically, at the sum total, your mitzvahs have to exceed your averes, but even if it's only by one. So the Gemara says, now, if that's true, then what do you understand? How do you understand the Mishnah Peah as the Mishnah Peah is identifying five mitzvahs? What is special about those five mitzvahs? I'm Rav Shmaya, Lo Mashim Haisa Shekula Machras. When it comes to those five mitzvahs mentioned in the Mishnah Peah, so they are special in the following manner. Let's say that at the end, your accounting is that you're even, perfectly balanced between mitzvahs and averos, but included in your mitzvah is any one of the five mentioned in the Mishnah and Peah. So now, because those mitzvahs are of special importance or special significance, so therefore, what they're going to do is they're going to tip the balance, even though it's even. But if even includes the ones mentioned in the Mishnah and Peah, so then they're going to tip the balance. V'chol ha'os mitzvah achas yisrael zechuyos ha'mitiv and love v'reminu, the Gemara is going to challenge based on another Mishnah. Kol zechuyos ha'merubim me'avon asav ma'ri and lo v'dama kimish yisarf kol ha'tara kula v'lo sharmi menu afila os achas. The Gebraisa, the Gemara is quoting, is that if your zechuyos, if your merits are greater than your sins, so Kadosh Baruch Hu does bad for you in this world, and it's as if you burned the entire Torah and you didn't leave anything left over. And kol she'avonosav merubim zechuyosav, and if your sins outweigh your good deeds, mitivan lo Kadosh Baruch Hu does good for you in this world to basically exhaust all the schar that you are supposed to get. V'dama k'mishim kaim kol haTorah kula, and it's as if you fulfilled the entire Torah. V'lo chiser os achas mimenu. So how do you put together what we learned together in our Mishnah versus the Braisa? Am Rabbi Masisan de Avdinle Yom Tov V'Yombish. So Abai's answer is as follows. When our Mishnah describes Mitivin and Merian, good and bad, so it means a good day and a bad day. Let's take a look at Rashi. Rashi over here explains. Diktani Mativa Marian. I'm sorry. We're not explaining our mission. We're explaining the Braisa. The Braisa that says that good and bad will be done for you. So Rashi explains. Da Avdila Yom Tov Yom Bish Misha Os the Mitzvah Yisera. Da Aviruba Zechus Misakna Lo Balamaze Yom Tov Shenifrayim Mimenu Avono Sav Vizeo Tikun Yom Tov Lo 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 Maba. Yom Tov over here just simply means not currently a good day, but in other words, the kind of bad day that'll prepare a good day for you. The choshen of a sub merubin diktani merim lo hainu davin lehas manas yom bish and shemashim lo schar mitzvosav kan lios mesukan lo yom ra. And when it says bad day, it means that if you have greater amount of averos, so Kadosh Baruch Hu will present to you a yom tov, so that in the future you will have only bad. So basically, we're just going to simply understand that Yom Tov and Yom Bish doesn't mean for this world, it means for the next world. Rav Amar, Hamani Rav Yaakov Hidamar. So Rav says, let's go with what we originally thought, that the Braisa that we just quoted is to be taken literally, and Hamani Rav Yaakov he. And the author of the Braisa is Rav Yaakov, which is Darmas Chai Mitzvah by Amaleka. That how much reward should you expect for doing mitzvahs in this world? In this world, nothing. Zero. Don't expect any reward for mitzvahs that you do in this world. Did Tanya? The Gemara quotes the Braisa of Yaakov Omer, Ein lecha kol mitzvah, mitzvah shebesocha, betorah, shematan tzchara betfida, she'ein tchiyas ha-mesim tuluya ba. There is not a single mitzvah, says Rav Yaakov, that's written in the Torah, even if there is a reward connected to the mitzvah, and don't expect that reward to come in this world. Let's go over our two most notable examples. By the mitzvah of Kibbutz Av, the Torah says that if you do the mitzvah of Kibbutz Av, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give you extended days. And by the sending away of the mother bird, the Torah also says you're going to get long days. And let's now take these two mitzvahs where the Torah promises you long life, and let's put the two mitzvahs together. So your father tells you, hey, do me a favor, climb up the ladder, go get the eggs, but obviously in order to do so, you have to chase away the mother bird. So now you are en route to doing two mitzvahs where the Torah is promising you a long life. And so what you did on your way up is you fulfill the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKein, and you also fulfill the mitzvah of Kibbutz Av V'Aim as you listen to your parents in doing so, and then on your way down you fall and you die. Heichan tovas yamav shel zeh veheichan arichas yamav shel zeh. Now, assuming that this can happen, so then what about the promises in the Torah? Ella, so Rav Yaakov says, it's very simple. The promises of the Torah have nothing to do with this world. Meaning, Tov and Aroch is a reference to not this world. Because in this world, there's nothing that is absolutely Tov. And in this world, there's nothing that's absolutely Aroch. We're talking about Olam Haba. So, V'dilma Lav Hachi Hava. So the Gemara says, and maybe you'll tell me, well, it's just simply impossible. Meaning, the question is built on a false premise. Maybe if a person were to go up on a ladder, chasing with the mother bird while following the mitzvah of Kibbutz Av V'Aim, it simply won't happen that he'll die. But the Gemara here tells us, but it's just not true. It does happen. Rav Yaakov Maisahu. So I'm sorry. Lav Hachiava. Rav Yaakov Maisa Chaza. Rav Yaakov actually saw the incident take place. V'dilma Mahar Ba'Veirahava. And now the Gemara is going to make a number of suggestions, which the Gemara is going to end up rejecting. Maybe the person that was in route and doing so had averas in mind while doing it. So Machshavara in the Kodesh Baruch Hu Mitzapa Lamaisa. Okay, good. It's not going to affect the mitzvah. Meaning, if you're doing a mitzvah, even if you have machshavara, the machshavara is just dismissed. V'dilma Mahar Ba'avodas Kachav Mahava Uksiv Laman Tifos Es Beis Yisrael Belibam. Maybe the person had avodah zarah in mind. So Iunami Achi Kamar Isak Adachas Chai Mitzvah Ba'Ama Amai Lo Agid Mitzvah Salam. So Rav Yaakov says that's part of my argument. If you really think there's Chai Mitzvah in this world, why wouldn't the Chai Mitzvah protect him from having these thoughts of avodah zarah? And that a person wouldn't come to hear her. So, in other words, Rav Yaakov basically dismisses that as well. Meaning there's just simply no reward for mitzvahs in this world. So the Gemara says, yeah, but he's en route to doing a mitzvah. Maybe his protection was provided because shluchei mitzvah. So the Gemara says, yeah, but that's only en route to doing a mitzvah, not on the return. So the Gemara says, but that's not true. Shluchei mitzvah is afforded protection both going and coming back. Sulam ru'ua hava dekviya zeka. Gemara says that the ladder was a shaky ladder, and even with this concept of shluchei mitzvah, you're not going to be protected when the hezek is apparent. And it's just simply not going to protect you if it's a known danger. And we end off the Gemara today with a statement by Rav Yosef, which is that if Acher only understood these psukim, the way that Rabbi Yaakov explained to us these psukim, that the reward that is promised has nothing to do with this world, and it has to do with Olam Haba, Acher would never have gone off the derech. The Acher my who? So Igadami ki Igav Nechaza. So one version has it that Acher saw exactly what we just described. Someone being told by his parents to go up on a ladder in order to chase away the mother bird, and he died. And Acher saw that and didn't understand. Those are the two places where the Torah promises a long life. Or the Gemara says that another thing that he saw was the tongue of chutzpitz, one of the asara huri gamachos, were being dragged by a pig. So he says, I just can't be. Where's Chav Onish in this world? This tongue that said over Torah is now being dragged in the dirt. Nafach chata, and as a result of that, he went out and he sinned. And if only he would have understood the psukim the way that Rabbi Yaakov explained to us his psukim, so then he would never have gone off the derech.